It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. It's wonderful being with you again here at Bible Home Church. And this broadcast, of course, is going across the world. We're getting so many wonderful letters from people. Practically every country on this planet. The broadcast is just wonderful. In fact, I have here in front of me a wonderful letter from France. Dear Brother Tex, just thought you would like to know at the present time we in southwestern France can hear your radio program. Thanks for keeping up all the good work. We really appreciate it and praise God that you are still able to be on radio. It's a delight to be with you. You know, we always have beautiful music. We've got something lined up here next. What is that song we're going to have? This is the Blackwood Brothers. I mean, they are like legends among Southern gospel quartets. He's All I Ever Need. Hey, I like that. That's what we've got for you. He's All I Ever Need. And I think you know who they're talking about. Well, this is Cecil Blackwood and the Blackwood Brothers. He is All I Need. I'll be right back after this song with a message. We're starting a new three-part series today, and it is entitled, The Blood of the Martyrs Cries Out. Very, very important message. Oh, please stay tuned for part one of The Blood of the Martyrs Cries Out. But first, beautiful music, as promised, the Blackwood Brothers.
Things of this old world anymore. All at once to me they've lost their glow. When I knelt in prayer and he came in and washed my sins away, that's when all my worldly pleasures had to go. Let me down. For he filled a longing that I had down deep inside my heart. Took my feet and placed them on the solid ground. Now I'm headed for a city somewhere just around the bend. As I go, just a few more days to labor with him walking by my side. With his help, I'm gonna make it. This I know, for he's all I'll ever need to make it through this world. He's the one true friend that's never let me down.
You know, one of the most troubling parts of the Bible is where we learn that the saints will suffer because of their love of Christ. Now, a lot of people tell me that's not true. We could never possibly suffer. things are going to get so great and wonderful, and we're all so blessed by God that we're just going to get richer and richer and never suffer loss or never have persecution come into our life. You know, a lot of people believe the minute you become a Christian, everything is blissful. All hard times just dissolve away, but that isn't true. Friends, let me tell you, the minute you become a Christian and you've accepted Jesus and you're born again and you're made a new person and you've been cleansed of sin, that's when the devil gets mad at you. I've had people tell me, Tex, I never had so much trouble in my life until I became a Christian. Jesus said, you better count the cost. And so, you see, we have to look at things from an eternal standpoint. Somebody once asked Lester Roloff, the great pastor here in South Texas, wasn't he afraid? You know, he stood against the homosexuals. He stood up against government intrusion into churches. Aren't you afraid that something might happen to you? You know, somebody might even kill you, some hater. He laughed. He said, no one can kill a Christian. No one can kill a Christian. You think about that. Did you know that Jesus says, don't fear anyone who can harm the body, who can kill the body? Fear him, said Christ, who can kill the soul, destroy the soul. If man destroys your body, that is nothing. But God only can destroy the soul. So I take great comfort in knowing that no one can kill Tex Mars. I am an eternal being. I will live forever and ever. And that's the good news of being a Christian. Can you believe that? No one can kill you. They think they can, but they're sadly mistaken. It's appointed for man once to die. Hebrew 9 verse 27. Afterward, the judgment. And let me tell you something, my friends, when you have been born again through Jesus Christ, the judgment is taken off of your head, but it still lies in the path of the world. And the world will perish lest they repent. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. You have to understand that before the very throne of God in the last days, there is a great number of witnesses. Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Now, this is after already tribulation has come upon the earth. Horrible things have happened. The four horsemen of the apocalypse come forth. I mean, all hell has already broken loose here on planet Earth. Many people dead. Horrible plagues and things. And let me just read to you now what's happening up in heaven. Verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And it goes on from there, my friends, talking about the amazing events on earth. It leads all the way to the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every man on earth hiding themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains and saying to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You see, at a certain time in world history, the saints who have died because of the faith will literally be standing before God. He will sit on that great throne, and they will sit there, or should be standing under the altar. They were slain for the word of God. and for the testimony which they gave to a lost world. And they cry with a loud voice, crying out for vengeance and judgment. Avenge our blood, they beg the Lord. But they're told to wait for just a little bit longer, because there are still other saints to come who will die for the faith, just as they did. Now, this is a verse that almost makes you want to cry. You keep reading in chapter 7. There again, we read about a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, who stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And John goes on, verse 13 of chapter 7. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We see then, my friends, that tribulation is always the lot of the Christian for a short time, for a brief time, because we are eternal beings. And this world will last but a brief time. James says in the Bible that we should consider the fact that our life is like a vapor. To God, our life on earth is like a vapor. The old saying, here today, gone tomorrow, is true. And since we live here such a short time, we should all consider how we should live. Well, one thing we should consider is that as long as we're on this planet, we will be hated. You will be hated. And I did a program recently talking about that. Had a person wrote to me, and the person said, Tex Mars, your ministry is designed to stir up hate. Because you don't express love and goodness and all of the pleasant things, you're causing people to hate you. Why can't you be like Billy Graham and Robert Schuller and the others? They are greatly beloved. Why is it, Tex Mars, that you are not loved by the world? Well, you know, a statement like that, a question like that, would make you feel bad for about 5 seconds until you got into the Word of God and you remembered again what Jesus said. I will admit, there are those who love me. I appreciate so many of you who write and confirm that to me and tell me you love me. But I do have those who do hate me. And they say that I actually arouse or inspire hate in other human beings, but I don't know of any other way. Now, let me tell you why I say that. You say, well, Tex, if you're making people mad and angry and hateful of you, why do you keep doing it? Well, I guess I just want to be like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. Psalm 97:10 says, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. You see, when you hate evil, my friends, evil will hate you back. You have to understand that. When you hate evil, listen to me again, evil will hate you back, except that evil will hate you with 1,000 degrees stronger. Psalm 119, verse 104 says, therefore, I hate every false way. A Christian must hate every false way. You say, I didn't know Christians were haters. Oh, yes. Christians hate sin. Christians hate evil. Christians hate every false way. This man said, why can't you be more like God, who is love? Of course, John says in the Bible, God is love, but he takes that out of context. God is love, but he hates evil. In fact, I'm not going to read them to you. I don't have time today, but just read Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Did you know, my friends, there are at least six things that are specified in the Bible that God hates? These six things doth the Lord hate. And if you don't know what those are, I hope sometime today you'll get out your Bible and read Proverbs 6, verse 16. I pray that you're not guilty of one of these six things, because God hates them. God hates sin. Why do we hate sin? Why do we hate evil? Why do we hate every false way? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you love sin, then you are dead. That's your wages. You will get paid in due time the wages due. And God is faithful and just, and believe me, he will not cheat you one red cent. You will get everything due you. If you have wages of sin, you will receive death. If Jesus has blotted out your sins on the cross because you've accepted what he did at Calvary, you will receive a sentence of life. Here is the Christian's full duty. Amos 5, verse 15. Hate the evil and love the good. You know, I know that the greatest commandment is to love God. I would think, you know, I'd like sometime to ask God the question, what is the second greatest commandment? I think it could be this one. Hate the evil and love the good. The problem is that Christians are hated, because Jesus said, if you were of the world would love you. The world loves its own. But he says in John 15, verse 19, but because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Did you know the world hates you? You say, oh no, I have friends. Everybody likes me. I'm so sweet. I smile. And well, that's nice. Just let them know that you're a Christian. Just let them know that you hate every false way. Let them know that the wages of sin is death. Tell them hell awaits those who do not follow God. And let me tell you something. You're going to start seeing some attitudes change, my friends. Maybe your problem is you're not Christian. Maybe your problem is you're not witnessing to other people. That's why they love you so much. Because Jesus is true and you are a liar. Now listen to me. I'm telling you. You say, oh no, Tex, that's not true. Why? Billy Graham makes the 10 most admired men in the world list. And there are so many Christians that have been loved over the years. Mother Teresa and all of the Christians. Even Princess Diana was loved by the world. Why can't I be loved by the world? Let me tell you something, friends. You can be loved. You just get apostate. Tell God you want no part of him. You'd rather have the wages of sin, and the world will love you. I guarantee it. How do I know? Because the Bible said so. If you're of the world will love you. You don't have to go see some psychiatrist and say, no one loves me. And the psychiatrist would turn to you and just say, well, you got to love yourself. So that's sort of a wasted exercise. That's all they do. You got to love yourself. Remember the old Whitney Houston song? The greatest love of all is to love yourself. What a bunch of ridiculous, selfish nonsense that is. The greatest love of all is to love yourself? What a bunch of stupidness. Hitler loved himself too, and so did Stalin. That's their problem. They love themselves too much. They have no consideration and love for other people. But if you believe in God, let me tell you what Jesus said. John 15, verse 17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. You'll hate sin, but you'll love one another. The world will hate you, and you will hate the things of the world, but you will love one another. Now I'm going to get to the bottom line here, because I've got a lot to tell you about today. This talk today, this subject we're looking at, is the fact that the martyrs of Jesus are still crying out before the altar of God. Let me tell you why there are martyrs in this world. It's because the Bible explains it this way, Proverbs 8, verse 36. Here's what God said. You see, he said now, remember, Jesus said, the world hates you. Why? Jesus said, because you're of me. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. John 15, verse 18. Why are you hated? You should be hated of all men for my name's sake. Luke 21, verse 17. You're hated because you're of Jesus. You're not hated because your name is Bob or Sally or Colby or Tex or Wanda or Kimberly or Jason. No. You're hated, if you're a Christian, because you believe in that name above all names, Jesus. That's why they hate you. But don't feel bad. Jesus said they hated me before they hated you. He said the servant is not greater than the master. He was first. The first. The first to be resurrected, the first to be hated. Now let me tell you about those kind of people that hate you. You have to understand why they hate you. First of all, they hate you because you have Jesus. He's a beacon, a light, a shining light on a hill. And they want darkness. They prefer the darkness. They hide in the darkness. And you turn on that love light of Jesus, and let me tell you, they will hate you. Don't believe all the books at the Christian bookstores. Pile of trash. Take them out and burn them. You'll be much better off. Because believe me, I don't care how many books there are, so many sappy, sentimental, I love you, feely, touchy books out there. The fact is that if you're true to God and you hate every false way and you love one another, I mean Christians loving one another and caring for one another, and you love God most of all, you will be hated. A lot of people won't avoid that. That's why that man wrote me. He couldn't bear to think that Christians would be hated. But you see, I just consider it my lot in life to be hated by a certain number of people. In fact, it's my heritage on this earth to be hated by the vast majority. And if I'm not hated by the vast majority of the world, I don't know if I'm doing a good job. In fact, I feel guilty. If I don't get a few hate letters every week, I begin to doubt my salvation. Well, I'm just kidding on that. But I begin to doubt that I'm doing a good job for the Lord. I do. When people hate you for doing God's work and upholding His word, they don't hate you. They hate God. They hate God. You're the standard bearer. You know, I remember when I was in Air Force uniform, there were certain areas of the world we were told not to go. And don't wear your uniform down this street in this town, in this country. Why? Because they hate Americans. They know that uniform and they hate Americans. It's not that they knew me, but the minute they see an American in uniform, they want to kill him. They hate Americans. Well, that's the way a lot of people are about Christians, friends. And they try to hide it sometime, but when they see you taking on the breastplate of righteousness, the shield and the armor of God, let me tell you something, they automatically want to kill you. Oh, they can talk sweet and nice to you. Let me tell you how I know that. Proverbs 8, verse 36, God said, all those that hate me love death. They love killing. And Proverbs 29, verse 10 says, the bloodthirsty hate the upright. If you're a righteous person, my friend, the bloodthirsty are going to be after your neck. A lot of people don't understand that. They think you can be at peace with the world. Well, the Apostle Paul said as much as you can be at peace with the world. But they slayed him. They killed every one of the apostles. Here was the man who said, as much as you can be at peace with the world. Obey those in authority over you. But let me tell you something, my friends. The apostles suffered hideous deaths. At least that's what tradition tells us. And as much as we can discern of history, we know of those like Stephen who were stoned to death. We know about James who was put to death by the evil King Herod. It's because the bloodthirsty hate the righteous. They hate the upright. Let me tell you something, my friends. You understand, on earth here, there are two churches. There is a congregation of the living and a congregation of the dead. And the dead hate the living. See, Tex, are you talking about the other world, the spirit world? Oh, no. I'm talking about right here on this planet. When you walk down the streets of your town or your village, or your city, let me tell you something. When you see people pass you, you better understand something. Some are members of the congregation of the dead, and some are alive, and they're members of that congregation. Proverbs 21 verse 16 says, "The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead." And friends, once they're in the congregation of the dead, they want to kill you too. And if they can't kill your soul, they want to kill your body. But don't think it's unnatural. It is natural, because the Bible says the natural man, that's the person who is not born again, who is made supernatural, the natural man, born blood of Adam and Eve, born into this world, Satan as their father, that person is a natural man or woman, and that natural person longs to kill you. And don't think that I'm just stretching it. I just read you the verses. Don't believe Tex Mars. Believe what the Bible says. The world hates you and wants to kill you, and they can't help themselves. They're just doing what comes natural. Natural born killers. And if they haven't killed you up to now, well, okay. Give them time. Give them the license. Give them the rope and they'll hang you. Give them the gun and they'll shoot you. Give them the sword and they'll run you through with it. But I love what Jesus said. Again, I'm going to repeat it again. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28. "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows."
Please tune in next week as Pastor Tex Mars continues this sermon, "The Blood of the Martyrs Cries Out." Until next week, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.